The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning, how are you?
Boker Tov, I think you were reading my mind, Howard, with Oh Those Russians, because not only did I enjoy the song, but of course I did want to make some mention of Mikhail Gorbachev's death, 91 years old.
Anthony, and I thought he was dead. I didn't know that he was still alive. I was quite shocked.
Well, you've finally got to the moment now where the reality clashes with your perception of what is going on. Exactly. Because he is finally, yeah. I mean, he did kind of disappear a little bit from the scene, and so therefore you could be forgiven for thinking that he might not have been alive anymore. But, yeah, he did survive until the ripe old age of 91, was responsible for bringing down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev. Perestroika, glasnost, and all of those things. But I think from an Israeli perspective, gave the ability for about a million people from the former Soviet Union to come and make Israel their home.
Amazing,
and I think that will really be his legacy in Israel. Of course, he was the president during Chernobyl, a somewhat dubious history that he will have to be judged by ultimately as well, but certainly from an Israeli perspective, undoubtedly had a massive influence on the Israeli lie of the land and where Israel is today as a country, as opposed to where it was before the war came down. Definitely a massive influence from Gorbachev. I also wanted to talk about this world of social media influences. People of a certain age like us, Howard, perhaps don't really understand this whole world of social media influences. And I did watch a TV program which showed me what I consider to be airheaded youngsters who just had a lot of money to cause a lot of damage. But they do have massive influence over the younger generation. They have millions and millions of followers doing crazy things on social media. And the reason that I mention this is because Israel recently hosted a group of social media influencers from the younger generation with millions of followers on TikTok and Instagram, and some of them even having followers on Facebook. People like Dekel, who apparently is an engineer, but also does these skincare routines on her social media site. Evyatar Ozeri, who has a chihuahua called Nikki. And apparently, they even former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett hired Nikki to do some sort of a newsreel. Apparently, they can command something like $20,000 for appearing in some sort of a film reel when they get hired out. There are people like Shiraz Shukrun Guy Rabi, who apparently likes to blow up all kinds of things on his social media, Idan Matalon, and Orin Julie, who apparently was a combat soldier in the IDF. And the reason that I mention all of their names is because it would be good for the younger listeners to potentially look into them and see whether they might be interesting to follow. The thing that's common about this group is that they are all very pro-Israeli in their influencing and in the posts that they make on social media. And they were hosted by the Israeli government. They were sent on a tour to the north of Israel to experience some of the sights and sounds of Israel. And they made some posts on their social media sites. A lot of them sound like they are Israeli or could have been Israeli or come from Israeli families. But I think the most important thing is that they are proudly willing to stand up in the world of social media and be pro-Israeli, something which is not taken for granted and not necessarily that easy.
It's absolutely fascinating that. This is also interesting that warning letters were yesterday issued by the State Commissioner of Inquiry into the disaster at Mount Meron last year. One of the letters was issued to former Prime Minister Netanyahu. Why? Can you just explain this?
Well, so following the disaster at Mount Meron, and for those people who don't quite remember what went down, this was at Lag BaOmer last year, when the infrastructure at Mount Meron was really found to be just not suitable for the number of people who turned up to Mount Meron, as they do every year on Lag BaOmer. to the grave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who of course is revered, and whose the anniversary of his death falls around Lag BaOmer. So therefore, it's become a certain event with 300,000-500,000 people potentially turning up at Mount Meron on Lag BaOmer. And last year, unfortunately, 45 people were crushed in that disaster. That disaster when the infrastructure just gave way, and it was found to be wanting. And since then, a state commission of inquiry has been set up to examine how that could have been allowed to happen. It was one of Israel's biggest disasters with the biggest loss of life. And so the State Commission of Inquiry was set up under the leadership of a former judge in order to examine exactly what went on. And that State Commission of Inquiry has interviewed many, many people, senior officials, including former Prime Minister Netanyahu, and others from his government at the time, the former security, public security minister, the head of Israel police, the former religious services minister, other people who were in office at the time. And the result of those interviews and the result of the evidence that has been given to the State Commission of Inquiry culminated yesterday in the issuing of those warning letters. Now, the warning letter essentially says, you better get legal advice because you are potentially on the hook to be blamed for the disaster that took place at Mount Meron. And that includes former Prime Minister Netanyahu. During the course of his evidence, he simply said he had no idea of the fact that the infrastructure wasn't good enough, that there wasn't enough security, that the preparations for 300,000 to 400,000 people attending, he had no idea that that just wasn't up to scratch. And the judge came back to him saying, I don't understand how you couldn't have known, because there apparently were state controller reports year after year being written about the fact that this was a disaster simply waiting for a time to happen, that the planning, that the security, that the infrastructure was not good enough, and that there was going to be some disaster happening. This apparently was warned for many, many, many years. And the judge who has headed up the State Commission of Inquiry said, I don't understand how you could have been in office as Prime Minister for 12 years and then say to me now, having been in office for so long, that you had no idea that this was going on. So the words were very, very harshly stated, even at the time that the former Prime Minister gave his evidence. And now he has been issued with a letter of warning that he may have to answer to some sort of a charge concerning this disaster. Ironically, I mean, in most countries, that would reflect negatively on an individual, I would imagine. And in fact, the Likud came out yesterday saying, this is ridiculous that the warnings are being given now during the process of an election campaign. It almost feels political. The State Commission of Inquiry.
I have to tell you, I am certainly not a Netanyahu fan, but it feels that way to me that he's, and I get it. I get that he was in office and I get that whole story, but somehow it does feel, you know, I'm no Trump fan either, but I felt like that FBI raid right now has a political angle. Am I wrong in feeling that this Netanyahu thing is maybe designed to discredit him further?
Well, the question is whether it was designed to discredit him further or whether any action that you take, because one might argue and say, by not issuing the letter,
I hear it.
Because why would it not become known to the general public now, before the election, that he might be responsible? Should that not be something that the general public should know before the election? You could argue this one both ways. And I feel a little sorry for the commission head, retired Judge Dvorah Berliner, who has become embroiled in this political action because, of course, the Likud yesterday said, well, this was a state commission set up by the Naftali Bennett Yair Lapid government, and it's obvious that they were going to come out with bad news before the election takes place. Here's the irony. Here's the irony. The newspaper reports this morning are saying that the fact that this letter has been issued and the warning has been issued has potentially enhanced Netanyahu's position in the general public rather than damaged it. Now, I don't exactly know why that should happen and how that could come about, but apparently in this mad Israeli political environment that we find ourselves in, this could potentially be something good rather than bad for your general reputation. And of course, there was another political angle to it because there was an accusation which said the reason that former Prime Minister Netanyahu allowed this event to go ahead was to appease the ultra-Orthodox parties who were part of his coalition at the time. And of course, at that time, when this event took place, we were also in an election period. And so he had it in his interest to somehow try to attract more and more votes from the ultra-Orthodox community. And there are charges which suggest that the reason that he knew that this could be a disaster but still allowed it to go ahead was because that's what the ultra-Orthodox parties were essentially demanding of him at the time, and he felt the need to appease, to subscribe to their requests in order somehow to help his case in the election.
Yeah, it's just such an interest. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Other than that, an Israeli court yesterday dismissed an application for an injunction to stop the teacher's strike from going ahead when school returns. Why was it dismissed?
So this was an application to the court by the Manufacturers Association of Israel. And interestingly, the government decided to come in and support the action. So this was not an application by the government itself, but they decided, the government decided as to become its secondary applicant to this application that was made to the court. Interestingly, the court said if the government wishes to apply for an injunction, they should do it themselves, and immediately dismissed the government's participation in the Manufacturers Association application to the court. And the court decided that the warnings of economic damage may not necessarily be quite as bad as the Manufacturers Association have said. The Manufacturers Association said the reason that they're applying to the court is because serious damage could be done to the Israeli economy, and they claim that as many as 250,000 workers might not be able to attend work as a result of the schools not returning tomorrow. And they claim that that could cause the Israeli economy 1.8 billion shekels worth of damage each week. Now, it's noticeable that the Jerusalem municipality has already declared that tomorrow will not be a school day either way. Whether an agreement is reached or not, tomorrow is not a school day. So they've effectively rolled the new school year to begin next week rather than this week, just to allow that extra day or two of negotiations. As of now, we understand that all-night negotiations were held with the participation of the ministers themselves in order to try to resolve this. As of this morning, still no white smoke from the chimney to say that an agreement has been reached. But it seems as if though
difficult,
now
it's difficult on parents, parents who want, who need to be at back at work, or who need to just plan. It's very, this must be a tremendous strain on
people. It's very disruptive. Very disruptive indeed, not only to parents, but of course to their employers, who expect them to be at work. Very, very disruptive indeed. I expect that we probably will see the start of the school year, if not tomorrow, then early next week. Because we just really need the children to go back to school and to get into some sort of a framework. I certainly hope that that will be the case.
Absolutely right. Anthony Rath, thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch Anthony Rath tomorrow morning at 7:45.